You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Football Writers Association podcast here with William Hill. Each and every week we get one of the top sport writers in the land to contribute to the podcast, and this week no different. Myself, Dave Kellner, here in the studio with the North East football correspondent for the Daily Mail. Craig Hope is on the line now. First of all, good morning to you, Craig.
Yeah, good morning, Dave.
How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. My voice is a little croaky. Sadly, it's not drink-induced at this time of year. It's a little bit more to do with the Hurricane Desmond, which has whipped through the northeast in the past week and has left me with a bit of a chill, and a little bit of man flu. But I'll survive.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get through this this podcast in one piece, Craig. Here, you are the football correspondent for the northeast.
Yeah.
A couple of clubs up there in the Premier League with Sunderland and Newcastle, and both of them quite short in the relegation market, unfortunately, Craig. Sunderland are 4-11 for relegation. Newcastle are in the betting even money. But both sides have picked up recently, in the last few weeks anyway, Craig. And I suppose Sunderland, they looked, about a month ago, they looked doomed. But Sam Allardyce has come in and inspired them a little bit. And they've performed reasonably well in recent weeks.
Yeah, they have. And I think the bet to be had about sort of 3 or 4 weeks ago was Sunderland to survive. I think they were 7-1 on, 8-1 on to be relegated.
Yeah.
You'd probably have been getting around 9-2, I think, for them to stay up. And at the time when Sam Allardyce came in, I thought that was where the smart money would have been for an interest bet. And for the first time, since the start of the season, they emerged from the bottom three last weekend. Now they're back in it after the defeat to Arsenal. But nonetheless, there's been a very definite sign of improvement there. In Big Sam's first six games, he took 9 points, which was an incredible return, really. And there really is a new feel around things at Sunderland. And Dick Advocaat was there. The manager himself was almost resigned to relegation, hence his reason to leave. And the very damning quote when he quit, you know, saying this team isn't good enough to stay up, and odds of 9-1 on relegation were entirely justified. But with Sam coming in, I use this word, Dave, he's convincing. You sit there in his company on his very first day when he was unveiled. We had about 45 minutes with him. And myself and my colleagues in the North East Press Pack, we left there and we said, you know, there goes a man you would believe in. And I think in terms of the dressing room, it was a dressing room which had been stripped of belief and stripped of its confidence. And a man like Sam Allardyce has just come in and just slowly but surely has restored that. And we've seen that by events on the pitch as well. And now I really would back Sunderland to stay up.
They're 2-1, so still a good price to stay up if you fancy Sunderland to survive in the Premier League at 2-1. You mentioned that Sam Allardyce is convincing. Is Steve McLaren convincing?
I've got to be diplomatic with this. Steve has struggled a little bit since he came in. Now, Newcastle United isn't an easy club to work for, and the day was not unveiled during the summer. I don't know if you remember the furor surrounding that when the free press were locked out and it was only preferred media partners who were allowed to speak to Steve. Well, he started off from a position of weakness, and as a result, it's been a sort of a stop-start, a win here, a draw there, followed by a run of defeats. And he hasn't really quite got the grips with it yet. And I think Steve is sort of struggling to determine his own identity in terms of being Newcastle head coach. Now, he's not manager. He hasn't got say on transfers in the like. And straight away, in that respect, I think you're weakened. And Steve has found it very difficult. He said it was going to be tough. Now, I think he's found it tougher than he ever imagined, really. And that is shown by results and performances on the pitch. Now, they beat Liverpool on Sunday 2-0. We've had false dawns before. Everything within that 90 minutes suggests that they could be set for an upturn in fortunes. It was impressive. They were combative. They seemed to be playing for the manager, for themselves, something they haven't done in recent weeks. But as I said, we've been in this position before. The 6-2 victory over Norwich was then followed by a defeat. So we'll hold our breath on this one. But in terms of Steve, yeah, he's just struggled a little bit so far. But I would still back Newcastle to stay up because I think they've got enough quality through the squad for them to be good enough, for them to be safe.
They are 8-11 to stay up. Sunderland are much more appetising price here with William Hill, 2-1 for them to stay in the Premier League. I suppose you've got teams like Aston Villa down there, Norwich and Bournemouth. You'd think that Aston Villa, I mean, they are very short price to be relegated now, 2-9. They've only picked up 6 points in the Premier League. You'd say they're, I wouldn't necessarily use the term absolutely doomed, but they are going to struggle to survive now.
Yeah, you would say with a fair degree of certainty that they're gone. And we talked about their managerial appointments. Well, Sam Allardyce came in and has given Sunderland the boost they needed. But Remy Gardner's had no impact whatsoever at Aston Villa. And you could have predicted that, Dave. I mean, it was a very uninspiring appointment. Newcastle United, when they were searching for a manager back in January, met with Remy Gardner and weren't impressed at all. I don't think they thought he had the charisma or the character to come in and sort out a dressing room, which had severe problems, really. And, you know, he's floated about. He's been linked with this, that and the other. Then he's popped up at Aston Villa, and it hasn't been convincing at all. And I wouldn't be surprised if Villa don't emerge from the relegation zone for the rest of the season. And to that end, relegation-wise, you're probably perming two from about four or five teams down there at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Swansea have been sucked in a little bit as well there. 7-2 to go down. These manager markets are known for their volatility, Craig, and this one no different. I mean, Gus Poyet's in there at 5-4 to be next permanent Swansea manager here with William Hill. Dennis Bergkamp, 6-1 in that market. Mark Warburton is 7-1. David Moyes 8-1, and it's 10-1 bar. Brendan Rodgers was a 1-2 shot to be next Swansea manager. He's now 12-1, which goes some way to portraying what these managers' markets are like.
Of course, yeah. With regards to Gus Poyet as well, there's a strong word for Gus going in there, and it looks as if Swansea are certainly going to speak to him. But you know, I worked with Gus up at Sunderland. And it didn't. Listen, Sunderland is a very difficult club to work for in terms of you've got the model whereby certain signings are put upon you and certain things you want to do as a manager, you are restricted. And Gus found that very, very frustrating. And towards the end, it was really sour. It was a man who didn't want to be there. And I think in the end, when it came to being sacked, I think Gus was almost relieved. I think he wanted out of there. So my own exposure to Gus Poyet isn't necessarily a positive experience. So with regard to Swansea, I'll be a little bit cautious, bearing in mind my own dealings with Gus. But nonetheless, he came in the season previous to that and inspired the Great Escape. And I think the players bought into them. He took them to a League Cup final. I think it was 3 victories over Newcastle under his care as well. So, you know, there were positives there, but it just ended really sourly. So I'm not too sure how much of a prudent appointment that would be. But on the other side of the coin, he did get a reaction from someone in terms of their relegation fight, kept them in the Premier League. And I think that's what Swansea are looking at now anyway.
There's been a few great escapes at Sunderland in recent years. They seem to be known for that now. OK, Craig, let's get stuck into the televised matches in the Premier League this weekend. Norwich versus Everton is first up. This is Saturday lunchtime. Norwich 9-5 to win this game here with William Hill. The draw 23-10 and Everton 6-4. When you talked about perming maybe 2 out of 5 teams for relegation, Norwich are in that bracket, I think.
Yeah, well, I've seen Norwich play twice this season. On one occasion, couldn't be more impressed at Sunderland. They were very good. They played on the counter-attack. They looked organised. I also saw them in the playoff final victory over Middlesbrough and Maine. I was very impressed by Alex Neil, the manager there. But then I saw them at Newcastle when they collapsed. It was 6-2 defeat. I mean, this was amidst Newcastle's worst run of the season, and yet somehow they managed to conjure a 6-2 victory, and Norwich played into their hands on that occasion. It just seems with Norwich now that early season bounce has burst, for want of a better phrase, and they could be one of the teams sucked into it. Everton, on the other hand, I think Everton have got the potential to be one of the most exciting teams in the Premier League. You know, they've got some very good players there. I mean, I also cover Republic of Ireland as well as part of my role with the Daily Mail, and you know, James McCarthy and Seamus Coleman are undoubtedly the island's 2 best players and 2 of Everton's best players as well. You know, you throw into the mix the likes of Ross Barkley, and they've got, I think, Romelu Lukaku, who's, what, the second top scorer in the Premier League now. So for Everton to be 9th and sort of bouncing around mid-table, they just seem to let themselves down every now and again. And it wouldn't surprise you if Norwich was one of those games where they went away from home and probably only emerged with a point from it. But no, I think Norwich, going back to the original question, Dave, I think Norwich are one of those teams who could really get sucked into it at the bottom.
The draw there could be a good bet. 23-10 for the draw. And another player that stood out to me in Everton's side, Gerard Deulofeu, Craig, He's looked fantastic for Everton, and they're going to hopefully or hope to cling on to him in either the January transfer window or the summer one, because obviously that's only a loan move with Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, Delafield played up at Middlesbrough last week in the Carling Cup victory. The Capital One Cup victory for Everton, and was absolutely outstanding. And it's just so refreshing to watch a player. We see so many footballers come through academies now, and they're almost like Russian dolls. They're the same player. They pass, they control, they move, they do everything to a certain standard. Gerard Delafield is something out of the ordinary, really. As he gets the ball, he plays with no fear. He's got the twinkle toes. He can dribble. He can run. He can cross. He can score. He really is a pleasure to watch. And I haven't got a vested interest in Everton per se, but I certainly have in Premier League football. And I would love to see Gerard Delafield become a permanent fixture here.
Yeah, me too. That's the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. The tea time kickoff, 5:30. PM is Bournemouth versus Manchester United. 12-5 Bournemouth to win this game, Craig. The draw is 11-5 and Manchester United 6-5. 5-0-0s in their last 14 matches Manchester United have been involved in. The fans finally got a little bit of entertainment midweek against Wolfsburg. However, on the wrong side of that 3-2 scoreline.
Yeah, entertainment for all of the wrong reasons. I mean, that's what they've been craving, but I think they would have much preferred a 1-0 victory regardless. But yeah, it's an intriguing game, actually, Bournemouth versus Manchester United. And I actually think the 11-5 about Bournemouth is a wild temperament, is perhaps a little bit skinny as well. I thought you'd have been going sort of 3-1, 7-2.
Yeah, me too.
But Bournemouth at home to Manchester United. But that is perhaps on the back of United's midweek exertions. The poor result last weekend, of course, Bournemouth coming to it on the back of a 1-0 victory at Chelsea as well. So I think that has probably had an effect on the odds in that regard. For a little bit of interest, my money would be with Bournemouth. I really cannot fall in love with this Manchester United team this season or Louis van Gaal either. There is something so unimaginative about their play. I know Wayne Rooney's injured at the moment, but I think he's really struggling. Part of a wider issue. I really hope it's not the case that we go into the Euros next summer with Wayne Rooney leading our attack, and I think we've got 5 or 6 months for him to play his way out of the England team, if you like, without sounding crude. But yeah, my money would be with Bournemouth on this. I just think it's a tea time kickoff. The fans have got a few extra hours of beer inside them going into going into the ground. It'll be under the lights. It'll be a nippy night down on the south coast. I don't think Man United will necessarily fancy it. After the midweek trip to Germany. So, yeah, I'd be back in Bournemouth in this one, certainly.
12-5 Bournemouth to win it. It's funny you mention Wayne Rooney, because I totally agree with you, Craig, but I see no possible way that Roy Hodgson leaves him out of that 11 in that first game of the Euros. I can't imagine it happening.
No, you can't, but I was at the World Cup in 2006, and you know, Wayne Rooney burst on the scene at Euro 2004 was absolutely fantastic before injury struck. Well, every major tournament since then, he's disappointed, and he's been a major part of the problem why England haven't succeeded. It's square pegs and round holes with him. He either comes into it in a silk or on the back of an injury problem and struggling for fitness, or they're struggling for form. In every major tournament, it just seems that the circus surrounding Wayne Rooney is a distraction from the very good players England do have. And for me, going into it, as I say, it's a crude word, and I wouldn't like to wish injury or severe loss of form on anyone, but I really just do think England have got a better chance if they go into the Euros next summer with Harry Kane leading the line.
Okay, that's Saturday's live games done and dusted. Let's move on to Sunday, Craig, and 1:30 Sunday, Aston Villa at home against Arsenal. 9-2 Villa, the draw 3-1 Arsenal in the betting at 4-7. Aston Villa come into this on the back of that draw last weekend away at Southampton. Arsenal tails up at the moment, given they went to Olympiacos and won 3-0. Olivier Giroud, fantastic on Wednesday night. Hat-trick, and he's got a good record against Villa as well. He scored in the last four meetings between the two sides.
Yeah, I think this is an away win. Oh dear, Dave, I really do. I mean, this is the year. It's probably something we'll come on to as well, looking ahead to Leicester-Chelsea, but it's the Premier League, nobody seems to want to win in terms of putting down the marker. I mean, Manchester City started the season tremendously, and we've witnessed one or two familiar feelings with them in recent weeks. But it is the year. If Arsenal can get something together, I know losing Alexis Sanchez is a big blow, But if they can get a run of form together going into Christmas, heading into the new year, I really think this could be the season whereby if they just hang about at the top and they get the likes of Wilshere and Sanchez back heading into January, February, March time, they could really sustain a title challenge, and I sincerely hope they do. But in terms of this game on Sunday, Villa Arsenal, in a way, win all day.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, Arsenal 4-7 to win that game. Arsenal, by the way, to win the title, 5-2 right now here with William Hill, if you fancy the Gunners to win the Premier League this season. Sunday 4 p.m. we've got Tottenham versus Newcastle. We've mentioned Newcastle on the podcast already. Mm-hmm. They go to Tottenham at the weekend. 4-11 Spurs to win this game. The draw 19-5 Newcastle 15-2. What do you envisage happening for Newcastle this weekend?
Well, I'll actually be there. I'll be down at White Hart Lane. I'm going over to France for the Euro 2016 draw, then coming back across on Sunday morning to do the Spurs-Newcastle game, which I'm looking forward to. Mm. I was there last year when Newcastle won 2-1 when they turned it around in the second half. Now, I actually think 15-2, 7.5-1 is a little bit of value about Newcastle, just for an interest bet, because purely and simply, you don't know what you're going to get from them. And much can be said. I think Tottenham have... that was an accusation often levelled at Tottenham in recent seasons. You know, they could beat one of the big boys and then quite easily struggle to a goalless draw, 1-0 defeat at home to one of the lesser lights. I think in part they've eradicated that this year. There's a lot I like about Tottenham, and if I was being sensible, I would say home win all day. But I just think my 15-2 about Newcastle is fairly tempting. There is something. They've got quality there. Listen, Ayoze Perez is a Tottenham target. Jorginho Wijnaldum was Dutch Footballer of the Year last year. Moussa Sissoko always turns it on at 4 p.m. on a Sunday when it's on telly, trying to attract potential suitors. So they haven't got a bad team. This is a team who's third bottom on form, but not third bottom on ability. So yeah, I would probably be having a little cheeky punt on Newcastle for that one.
Do you think Sissoko's that type of player then, Craig? If the television cameras are there, he performs, but Saturday 3 p.m. maybe not for him.
You said that. I think it is. Yeah, I think Moussa Sissoko has never made any secret about his desire to play for a top four team and to better himself beyond Newcastle. So to that end, I think he realises when the stakes are perhaps a little bit higher in terms of potential suitors watching him. It's no surprise to see him have his better games, shall we say, against the better sides.
Do you think fatigue might be an issue for Tottenham as well, because they mentioned, a few of the players mentioned it after their point against West Brom. We're recording this prior to their home fixture against Monaco on Thursday night, but they're playing a lot of football at the moment.
Yeah, they are, and it's certainly, I mean, I covered a season with Newcastle when it was the Europa League on a Thursday and the home games on the home away game on a Sunday, and it destroys the season. It really does. It's quite those Sunday home games at 3 o'clock, I know this one's 4 o'clock on the telly, but they become quite soulless, and it's almost a domestic season without meaning, really. It just drifts by in the background, and Newcastle really suffered that year, and we're almost relegated. Now Tottenham, to their credit, have managed to stay in touch this season. I think they're what now, 6 points off Leicester at the top. I think there's every chance they could get top four. I think Mauricio Pochettino has built a very good squad then, is a very convincing manager. I think Harry Kane is going to be rested for the game against Monaco, so he's fresh for Sunday. So I don't envisage that being too much of a problem with them. They've got a good squad there, Spurs, and they've got two players for every position as well, crucially.
Mm. And we finished the weekend with Leicester versus Chelsea. Monday night, 8 p.m, Leicester 11-5 to win the game. The draw is in the market at 23-10, and Chelsea 5-4. This Leicester City season is just spectacular, incredible, really. Everyone talking about Jamie Vardy, but Riyad Mahrez has been absolutely sensational as well, Craig.
Yeah, just going back to the price there, you mentioned there 11-5 Leicester at home to Chelsea, while Bournemouth were also 11-5 at home to Manchester United. Now, I know which one I'd rather be on. I'd rather have my 11-5 with Leicester at home to Chelsea all day long. I think that's a very good bet. Yeah, I mean, I've seen Leicester. I've seen Leicester twice this season, just as recently as a fortnight ago, when they took Newcastle apart at St James's Park, 3-0. And Mahrez was outstanding that day. It was the day Jamie Vardy equaled Ruud van Nistelrooy's record, and I think he got man of the match, certainly in my paper in the Daily Mail. But the best player on the park that day was Riyad Mahrez. There's something about Hatem Ben Arfa about him. I don't know if you remember Hatem Ben Arfa. He's best for Newcastle a couple of seasons back. Now, it went very sour with him in the end, but certainly at his best, Ben Arfa was an absolute joy to watch the way he glided across the turf and could manipulate a football in much the same manner as Mahrez. Yes, so in Mahrez and Vardy, we've got two of the Premier League's most exciting players right now. We were so surprised to see them turn over Chelsea. They've got real problems, Chelsea, at the moment, just seemingly in terms of motivation and just caring. They don't really seem to be too bothered about their fate. There's too many players in there who are going through the motions right now. I wouldn't sack Jose Mourinho. I think he's due one dip in a managerial career, which has so far avoided such troughs in the past 10 years. So I think he should be given the chance to snap them from this. But in terms of Monday night, Leicester versus Chelsea, my money would be on Leicester all day long. It really would.
Yeah, 11-5, good price on Leicester, over 2-1 to win at home against Chelsea. I suppose the problem with Mourinho is this often happens in that third season, doesn't it? There's been many an article written about him coming into a club and getting the response straight away, and then it's sort of tailing off into that third and fourth season.
Yeah, there is that pattern there with Jose, isn't there? But, you know, I think if Jose wants to stay and he says he's convinced he can turn this around and he backs himself and he wants to be at Chelsea for the long haul, I think you've got to trust him on that, and I think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm. Now, if any manager, barring the likes of Sir Alex Ferguson previously before him, if any manager deserves one iffy, dodgy season, then it's got to be Jose Mourinho. He's had 10 absolutely fantastic years, no matter where he's been, Porto, Inter, Chelsea, even Real Madrid. I think he's allowed this one. You know, if this malaise continues into next year, into the following season, then I think you've really got to start reviewing his position. Or if you get the impression that he no longer wants to be there, and he's lost the dressing room and he's almost lost himself in many ways, then perhaps, but as long as he remains convinced he's the man for the job, for me, you've got to stick by him.
Superb. Thank you for your company on this podcast, Craig. If you want to follow Craig on Twitter, by the way, @CraigHope_DM. Craig, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Hopefully those North East sides will both survive this season, Sunderland and Newcastle. And thank you for your company, sir.
No problem, Dave. Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.